Hello, I'm Dr. Scott Wattier.
And I'm Tommy Welling, and you're listening to the Fasting for Life podcast.
This podcast is about using fasting as a tool to regain your health, achieve ultimate wellness, and live the life you truly deserve.
Each episode is a short conversation on a single topic with immediate actionable steps. We cover everything from fat loss and health and wellness to the science of lifestyle design.
We started Fasting for Life because of how fasting has transformed our lives, and we hope to share the tools that we have learned along the way. Hey everyone, welcome to the Fasting for Life podcast. My name is Dr. Scott Wattier, and I'm here as always with my good friend and colleague, Tommy Welling. Good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey Scott, how are you?
Doing fantastic, my friend. Fun conversation coming your way today about intermittent calorie restricted diet and the effects on type 2 diabetes remission. And not just a short-term study, but something that looks at the individuals 12 months down the road and some really cool insights that we can garner from it. So I'm excited to dive into that article. It's a heavy one, but there's going to be some really cool things that we can talk about. So we're going to nerd out just a little bit. But before we do that, I want to welcome in all of you new listeners to the Fasting for Life podcast. We are so happy that you're giving us an opportunity to join you on your fasting journey and turning fasting into the solution and the lifestyle that we all were or are still looking for in terms of our health and our weight loss goals. So if you want to learn more about Tommy and I, head back to episode one. I think it's like 20 or 25 minutes long. You can hear more about why we started this podcast, why we have the programs we have now, and how fasting has absolutely transformed our lives and given us our lives back. So shout out to the long-term listeners as well. We still love and appreciate all of those five-star reviews. Tommy, you got one you want to shout out this morning, I believe. They're just incredible. There's nothing better than when we started this thing a few years ago. And don't worry, I'll keep the self-aggrandizing portion of today's episode extremely short. And it was like, man, this really worked for us. Let's tell some people about it. And here we are, you know, going on 160-something episodes later. And the momentum just keeps growing. So every time we get not just a, hey, you guys are great, rah, rah. That's not what I'm talking about, right? That's not what we need.
Those are cool.
Those are cool. But it's the ones where we hear part of the story too. We're like, yes, I did this and it worked. And holy moly. So Tommy, you got a shout out here real quick.
Yeah. E Figueroa, new to the lifestyle. Thanks for dropping five stars. Hey guys, listen to episode 161. Had to go back to the beginning too. Just listen to the episode of Human Growth Hormone. Really appreciate, you know, all that information. Last year, I went to a wellness doctor. He was selling me semaglutide, $450 a month, testosterone, $300 a month. Tried to sell me HGH, $4,200 per month. Wow. Like, I mean, you're talking house payments here. Right. I didn't bite, but spent over $4,000 total on supplements for 3 months, knocked off 30 pounds in 3 months. I've been fasting for 2 weeks. I'm already down an incredible 20 pounds without the high cost of medications and supplements. Hooked on the new lifestyle, already feeling so much better. That's so awesome. Congrats on incredible progress right now. And I know some mind-blowing ahas right there. Talk about like flipping what you were thinking like on its head. That's incredible.
I hadn't seen that one. So you can't see me since this is an audio medium, but like Tommy can see me on Zoom and like my eyes were like
eyes bulging,
peeled back. So incredible. So keep it coming. Keep putting in the work.
That's awesome.
We want to bring you value each and every episode. So let's hop into today's conversation, Tommy. This article, and I love that this stuff is a lot of the articles that we've been doing recently, and you might notice that there's some overlap where it's like, oh, another conversation on diabetes remission. Another conversation on fasting and blood sugar. But there's a lot more coming out recently. A lot of these articles are within the last few months. This one's from December 2022. You know, most recent episodes we've done were, you know, within the last few months. We already have a couple that are coming up that are going to be from 2023.
Right.
So I just love that there's the continued search for better answers, especially when it comes to the obesity and weight loss and diabetes epidemic. And we know that 8 out of the top 10 reasons why people, you know, all cause mortality here in the US are related to blood sugar and insulin related issues. So it is that important. And we want to, but we want to make it tangible too, right? We want to make it applicable. We want to give you steps you can do today. So this study came out of China, Tommy, and it was the effect of an intermittent calorie-restricted diet on type 2 diabetes remission, a randomized controlled trial. And it's out of the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. What's going on today? All right, don't you guys worry. We got you here. And I just want to, first and foremost, big picture, there is a, you know, anywhere between 70 to 90 million Americans, and I was one of them, that didn't know I had prediabetes.
Yeah, me too.
And in the moment, you don't really think it's a big deal.
Yeah.
Or maybe you've had some symptoms come up, you know, and we're not talking medical advice here, but, you know, we've had some symptoms of blood pressure, liver enzymes. We did a whole episode recently on non-alcoholic fatty liver disease and insulin sleep relationship.
Like deep sleep. Lethargic after
needing
meals.
A nap every day, multiple, right? Waistline increasing, even though you're doing all the right things, counting calories, working out more, eating less, moving more, right? And it just isn't working. And, you know, labs were a little bit off, but air quotes, normal, right?
Still within normal limits.
Yeah. And the reality is that diabetes, by definition, is a progressive disorder. And the medications used are to manage the disease. But we like to say, like this article mentions, for the reversal, or even more fancy word, remission of the condition.
Yeah.
It's possible. It's doable. People are doing it. We've done it. And there's some cool insights that come out of this article, and we're going to unpack those here for you in just a sec.
Yeah, there are. I want to highlight that term that you just said, remission of it, because, you know, for myself, 70 plus pounds ago, coming off of what was my pre-diabetes or pre-diabetes, because I hadn't even been told yet that I was officially on the track yet, but I can go back and pull the blood work and I can see how much higher things were than they are now and how they trended up over the years, you know, slowly but surely ticking up in all those boxes that you mentioned. But treating this as in remission rather than just reversal means that we are highlighting the fact that, yes, there was a problem. And I did work to reverse the problem and back the problem away. However, I need to remain vigilant over time so I can continue to keep it at bay. Because if I went back to my old habits, I would be back on the track that I was before. So that diabetes remission, I really like that angle, and I don't hear that very often.
I'd like to apply it to habit remission. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. Putting those old habits that are painting you into a corner, those old relationships with food, those old social setting habits, putting those into remission too, because then that means there's a sustainability portion, there's a cultivation, there's a lifestyle adaptation. Because if you think of fasting as a diet, then it's going to be a diet, but so is every other diet, right? The calorie restriction roller coaster of on and off, right? I'm on my diet, it works. I'm off my diet, it doesn't. You have a gastric surgery for weight loss, but you don't change the habits that got you there, right? You get on the HCG diet and you do it, but then what happens when you stop taking the HCG and eating 500 calories a day?
Sure.
Well, we know what happens. And that's just the definition of insanity. So the cool thing about this study was, it was not shy from carbohydrates, okay?
Right.
which was interesting.
Change of pace.
Yeah, right. And it was a lot of fat in it as well. So I want to unpack kind of just the overview of the study. And it was in a 3-month RCT, so a 3-month randomized controlled trial. And what they were looking at was intermittent fasting diets that alternate days of ad libitum eating, meaning eating till you're satiated without boundaries, with modified fasting, you know, very low calorie days. And that's something we talk about. It's like, well, how do I get all my calories in a one meal a day? Well, you don't. It's designed to be a one meal.
Right.
Right? End quote. One meal a day. End quote. Right? Hard stop. So can significantly reduce body weight and improve cardiometabolic risk factors, right? So disease reversal, prevention, not management of, but prevention of. And they used a Chinese medical nutrition therapy diet. And in this 3-month trial, average age of 53, BMI of 19 to 30 with type 2 diabetes. So we're talking downstream from this metabolic condition of insulin resistance and metabolic inflexibility, right? Years down the line, who were taking medications or insulin were assigned to consume this CMNT diet, this Chinese medical nutrition therapy diet, right?
Right.
Or the ad libitum control diet. So the CMNT diet involved 5 days of very low energy intake. So like 800 calories. And 46 was from carbs. Now we'll unpack that in just a minute. Wow. 46% from fat and 8% protein.
Whoa.
So we would definitely like to see the protein a little bit higher, right? Carbs sure. maybe a little bit lower, right? If we're going to be doing sustainability here. Followed by 10 days. So 5 days of that, followed by 10 days of ad libitum. And they were both groups were following the dietary guidelines for diabetes in China, Tommy, which looks eerily similar to us here in the States, right?
As far as the, you know, general recommended guidelines for nutrition. Yeah. You know, so it's interesting because, you know, pretty much all countries still have like, you know, just kind of grains at the bottom, right? And then maybe some fruits, maybe some vegetables going up from there. And usually like meat and poultry a little bit higher, and then oils and, you know, additional salt and sugar, you know, kind of at the top. But the cool thing is here that we do see, I love the fact that it was almost 50% carbohydrates, because just like almost every study like this is usually so restricted on the carbohydrates, or at least more moderate. This is the highest carbohydrate and lowest protein I've ever seen, you know, in any study like this. So when you look at
for
that,
clarity, and, there, yeah. we see a lot that have the carbs, even if you're looking at like standard American diet type research articles, you'll see 50, 55, 60% carb. And then you'll see, you know, 25, 30% protein maybe, or then you'll see the fat really low.
True.
If we're doing a very low fat diet, right? Low carb. And then maybe you'll see the fat content a little bit higher, but then the carb content is lower. This is the first one we've seen where they're like equal.
Yeah. And then super low protein. Which is pretty interesting. I mean, you know, but in your natural state, like protein is fewer and farther between, you know? So like, it's just interesting that if you keep this as like more homemade kind of stuff and like less restaurant consumption, things like that, like this is kind of a fairly interesting natural balance of macronutrients, but we just don't normally see it in a trial like this. So it's cool to see what the results were without just restricting carbohydrates, because like we know that's hard to sustain.
Well, one of the questions we get all the time is, especially people that come to fasting, are like, oh, I eat very low carb. It's great. That's fine. If that's the way you want to live your life, that's great. Now, I'm not saying refined processed crap, right?
Sure.
Sugary drinks. We know the
things that got me
food.
into this.
We're not talking about that. Like natural forms, like the carbohydrates in this were rice, millet, corn, buckwheat, quinoa, oat, right? Like root flours. There was some dietary wheat flour, white kidney beans, right? Black beans, yellow beans, brown rices. So these Chinese yams, right? This isn't all the stuff that we're going to see on the inside aisles of our grocery stores packed in the colorful boxes of breakfast cereals and Pop-Tarts. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. So, but when people come to fasting, they always ask us, well, yeah, I just got to cut out carbohydrates. And long-term health, I'm going to agree with that statement. That we need to reduce those sugary, fructose-laden, high fructose corn syrup, processed, refined carbohydrates. Yes.
Right.
But eating a potato, I'm going to push back on like that being bad for your health long term.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
The damn thing grows from the ground. Like, like it has one, like it breaks down into an energy source. And if your body is able to burn that energy, right, then it doesn't get stored as fat. It doesn't increase your adipose tissue, which then becomes metabolically active, which then increases your insulin resistance and unbalances your hunger hormones. And then you can't get off them, constantly hungry, craving everything cycle. So it's interesting here. Tommy's like, where are you going with this? So
No. But if you slice up that potato, then you deep fry it, and then you just
put some oils in there
and then smother it with high fructose corn syrup laden ketchup. Now
and flavorings.
The potato became bad, you know, or the effect of the potato is, you know, part of a bad cycle, but it's very different, you know, coming from straight from the ground.
So I really like that there are more natural forms of carbohydrates in there. And they ate a fruit and vegetable gruel for breakfast, solid beverage, right? So I wouldn't recommend the CMT diet, okay?
Right.
CMNT diet. I would not recommend it. And then composite nutritional rice, which is just loaded with a bunch of words I can't say, and mushrooms and yams and salts and fibers and melons and lily root flowers. And so it seems like a lot of
interesting
lab produced stuff, right? But it gets you the macronutrient breakdown that we talked about, 46, 46, 8. And then dinner, they had a solid beverage. And then this very diverse wheat, flour, bean, kidney, quinoa, biscuit sort of thing, right? Mm-hmm. And the idea is that they wanted to control and see if they could, the primary outcome was for that diabetes remission, right? Defined as an HbA1c of less than 6.5. After 3 months, this is the cool part, because we get this question a lot too. Do I have to eat low carb? Or, mm-hmm. you know, do I have to eat this way for the rest of my life? I just love bread, right? Now, loving bread too much is a problem.
Sure.
Right? But it's probably not the only part of the problem. And then the other cool part was here was 3 months of ceasing anti-diabetic medication was assessed after the intervention at 3 and 12 month follow-up. And then the secondary outcomes were the A1C, fasting glucose, blood pressure, anthropomorphics, medication use, and quality of life, right? So we've set this up for you, right? And some of you are going, wow, the results probably are pretty crappy based on what you just told me, right? In terms of carbohydrate intake, the quality of food. The results are pretty astounding. 50% at 3 months. So we did 5 days of OMAD, right? Pretty much. Right.
But broke it up into 5 eating opportunities a day, too.
Caloric equivalent to OMAD.
Yeah,
excuse me.
Yeah,
so we're not talking about tapping into fasting here.
Yeah. Sure. 800-900 calories. Yep.
And then 10 days of ad libitum, right? Following the CMT diet or the Chinese, very similar to the American Diabetes Association food pyramid, right?
Yeah.
50% in the control group and only 50% in the intervention group and only 1 or 3% of the control group ceased diabetic medication use.
Wow. So the actual control group was just eating ad libitum. So they weren't actually controlling the number of calories, and they were less restricted on what they were actually intaking. But I mean, that's crazy. 50% of participants in the intervention actually ceased the anti-diabetic medication and just one in the control group. So the other thing was the decrease in fasting glucose too, and body weight as well. And quality of life improvement as well in the intervention group. I mean, the results are staggering. Yep. And I never would have predicted such a big difference, you know, in those two groups based on this design.
Now, the BMI categories we're talking about, again, are from 1930. So normal weight up to overweight. Obese comes 30 plus. So those folks have a much more metabolically active fat tissue, leptin resistances, insulin resistance is probably higher. So there's a few things here just to take into account. But the primary result for the primary driver, which was diabetes remission, it wasn't the medication ceasing, right? 47% of the participants in the control group and the CMT group in the intervention group achieved diabetes remission. And only that same one individual in the control group. But the awesome thing was at the 12-month follow-up, 44%. So only one less person that achieved remission went back.
Wow.
They achieved diabetes remission, 44% of the participants. And that's then that awesome. One person that had gotten it in the control group, well, gave it back.
Gave it back, yeah.
Gave it back. And this is the fear of dieting and the dieting mindset, right? So in looking at fasting like a diet. If you don't have consistent efforts or lifestyle habits change, if your lifestyle habits don't change and you put the old bad ones into remission, then and you don't have rewired new habits, then it comes back. So the cool thing was A1C was lower and the quality of life was higher in the intervention group as well. And the initial change in body weight remained stable in both groups.
Yeah.
But the difference was the disease progression or the disease lack of disease remission.
Yeah.
So diabetes, right? Some genetic conditions, a lot of environmental factors contributing to its manifestation, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of moving parts. The incredible thing here is evidence suggests that the VLED, right? So the 600 to 800 calorie a day intervention that they were undergoing, and other research says this too, can significantly reduce liver fat, liver insulin resistance, and normalize fasting glucose levels in 7 days.
Wow.
So if we're talking about this other article, reversal of type 2 diabetes, normalization of beta cell function in association with decreased pancreas and liver triglycerol, this was from 2011. And that article showed that 600 calories a day can have those drastic changes in just 7 days. In this study, however, with some of the things we just mentioned, right, the types of foods and the dietary recommendations they were following, even though they still got results, it took 8 weeks for those reductions in pancreatic fat and improvements in beta cell function to occur.
Wow.
Everybody's journey is going to be a little bit different. There are people out there that are just going to, I'm just going to Angus Barbieri my way there, and I'm going to fast for 300 and whatever days, however many days it's going to take, and I'm going to come off all my medications. And then at the other end, I'm going to be a new person with rewired habits. And some people can do that. The cool thing is that this study, even with its limitations and its carbohydrate amount and its dietary, you know, diabetic guidelines for food and the ad libitum component, it still produced significant reductions. And then looking at the long term, they were able to keep them. And this is where I want to have the last part of this conversation today, Tommy, is the fact that when we increase and we look at fasting and applying the low carb or how do I get my calories in or what should my fasting window look like, then we can start to have some pretty cool conversations about beginning with the end in mind of prevention of diabetes. If you have it, remission, but then what does life look like after the intervention period, after the very low calorie OMAD plan or the fast cycling where you're varying different fasting windows from 16, 18 hours all the way up to 36, 48, sometimes 72.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, fasting fam, want to let you know about an incredible company that we've partnered with, aquatrue.com. Promo code fasting for life to receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. These are not your old school pitcher filters or your refrigerator filters. We're talking about a proprietary 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process. Their countertop purifiers work with no installation or plumbing, which if you've priced those whole home water filtration systems, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These incredible countertop versions, they do have one under sink mounting model as well, but they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, like I mentioned, and they're specifically designed to combat this new group of chemicals that the Environmental Working Group has done a deep dive on, these forever chemicals called PFAS or PFASs. These are in 45% of our U.S. tap water. 45%. These things can lead to endocrine system disruption, certain types of cancers, liver toxicity. And I'm so glad that there's now a countertop affordable version of this incredible technology. So as we fast, we know that water, outside of a little black coffee and tea, is the only thing that we drink. So if we're trying to get the biggest bang for our buck, we're trying to increase autophagy, allow our bodies to heal, shed the weight, get healthy, reverse disease, then why not give it the absolute best quality water that you can? So AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. It even makes a great gift, like I mentioned, my aunt and uncle. Today, as one of our loyal listeners, if you support them, you're supporting us. You're going to get 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code fasting for life, FASTINGFORLIFE. That's 20% off any of the AquaTrue water purifiers at aquatrue.com.
And it was cool to see that they included some of that education, that reintroduction component within this study. So they went through a period anywhere from 2 to 8 weeks afterwards, where they would transition to that with that weight maintenance diet, because what they're showing and what they're reiterating is the fact that that calorie restriction was not necessary after the remission portion to keep the weight off or to keep the diabetes or the blood sugar issues at bay. But that reintroduction portion and what you were just alluding to, that's important. What are you going to do? Like if you've been losing weight, let's say with OMAD, like I did for a while, then what? What do you do after that? And if you don't have a plan, like I felt like, you know, many times, that can be the time where if I'm not sure what to do next or how to kind of get off of this track that I'm on,
right?
And I don't really know where I'm going to end up. And the default for a lot of us is start reverting back to old habits. But that's how the weight comes back on usually quickly if we're not careful, right?
Yeah. And it was interesting because they mentioned a few other research articles in here that compared the 800 to 600 calorie a day type OMAD scenario have been reported to produce significantly greater weight loss at 3 and 6 months compared to low energy diets. without greater rates of attrition, meaning it's not harder to sustain. So we're talking low energy diets where anywhere between 1,000 to 1,500 calories. So many women, so many men come to us saying, I have been restricting my calories and eating like a bird for so many years. 800, 1,000, 1,200 calories. You've been under consuming. VLEDs, 600, 800, what this study was, 847, I think it was, calories, right?
Yeah.
Produced greater weight loss at 3 and 6 months compared to those other old habit patterns, which you just mentioned. Yeah. We go back to doing it the way we were doing it. We haven't rewired that stuff. We haven't turned it into, like we like to say, fasting for life, a lifestyle, right? And Tommy, beginning with the end in mind, I want to transition to the last part of today's conversation, which is this conversation at the end of this article where it talks about, you know, studying continued hypocaloric diets being necessary for keeping type 2 diabetes in remission. And they say and show that once type 2 is achieved, transition periods that can be used to maintain that weight loss is where the magic lies, right? Is where a lot of us get it so wrong and where I got it so wrong for so many years, right? So monitoring is key, just like we talked about with the CGMs, but physical activity, keeping track of your body weight, but not obsessively being on the scale, right?
Right.
So what happened, which was really cool, that came out of the study was that once the weight loss has happened and then both groups maintained it following the additional guidelines they were given, if weight regain is avoided after achieving significant weight loss and reversal of the mechanisms underlying the dysfunction with type 2 diabetes and cravings and blood sugar and all that, the improvements in A1C will remain. And this is the cool part because people come and say, well, you know, how fast is too fast?
Yeah.
Well, more rapid initial weight loss is associated with greater weight loss in the long term and improved weight loss maintenance.
Yep.
What about my muscle? Well, you're not going to eat your muscle. You got 40 pounds of fat to burn. Growth hormone is spiking when you fast. Growth hormone is not anabolic. It's not growing muscle. But let's add some walking in. Let's add some physical activity. Let's add some sustainability conversation to this, right? So there are a lot of cool things that can happen. And they even say replacing 1 to 3 main meals per day and shifting that time and getting into that VLED, right? That lower caloric intake a few days a week compared to the low and slow failed dieting, hypocaloric restricted, right? It's not sustainable. So that's why we created the blueprint to fasting for fat loss too, because it speaks to personalizing this fasting journey to you as an individual and to the lifestyle you want and to the foods you like to eat.
Yeah, it absolutely does. One thing that's counterintuitive that worked really well in this study that I didn't do for a long time was I kept trying to do the exact same thing. I only wanted a plan that I could do every single day the exact same way. The only problem is there that even if you have a really good calculated caloric deficit or you have a really good fasting plan that works on a given day, if you do the same thing every single day exactly the same way, guess what? Bodies are really smart and they really love homeostasis too. So they get into a balance. We get into a routine and into a balance, let alone as our habits can kind of creep back in and we get comfortable too sometimes and we find ways to kind of extend our window or we get a little bit more calorie dense foods in and things like that. And so as we kind of highlight that fact, I wanted to share what they were actually doing with the CMNT diet. They were doing breakfast, lunch. Lunch was basically broken up into two parts, and then dinner, and then later in the day it was that biscuit that you were talking about. So these were broken up into literally 250, 150, 200, 150, 150 calories, like five times over the day. So that's not my favorite way to do this because of the insulin, because of the blood sugar and the insulin. Now at the same time, you had people coming off of, you know, putting diabetes into remission. So there were medications and things like that. So there was a lot of balance that complex, was probably trying to be had. Yeah. Right. But if this was me and I was taking some of this advice to make it actionable, I'd say, okay, well, could I put that in? I mean, that sounds like a really good way to kind of structure an OMAD or maybe a short eating window. Right. And then, and the fact that they were doing this 5 days and then 10 days, they were eating, you know, balanced, but to satiety means that they weren't just doing the exact same thing every single day.
Correct.
right? And like that's a key component. So when you look at the blueprint for fasting for fat loss, then you can take those tools, use them, but you don't have to do the exact same thing every day. So don't be like me looking for just the one thing that you can do every single day the exact same times, right? And
You just spoke to it because they even mentioned in the summary, it suggested that traditional prolonged dieting is made more difficult by the major drawbacks associated hunger, associated with hunger and daily decisions about what and how much to
eat. So many decisions.
And how these issues can be avoided through a shorter period, shrinking your window, involving more energy restriction, right? And rather than drinking all of your calories and snacking all of your calories in throughout the day.
Yeah.
So you just spoke to the struggle of
I've done
that,
it.
I know we all have, right? So the cool thing is that you also get the additional benefits of fasting with the hormone balancing and the growth hormone spikes and the cravings going away, et cetera. But in the beginning, it can be tough. And that's why the free resource, it's in the show notes. You can click the link. We'll zoom it over to your email inbox. You can also go to our website, thefastingforlife.com/resources, thefastingforlife.com/resources. You can grab that free resource. It's pretty robust. It goes through a bunch of different examples. It also gives you some perspective on why, just like we're talking about today, we want to get the weight off quickly. Then obviously there's that sustainability piece, right? And that's just going to take repetitions and failing forward and trial and error and probably joining one of our challenges or finding support and stabilization in your life, right? Rewiring those habits. So final thought for today, as we kind of wrap it up, is they mentioned while there isn't, we agree with this, there isn't a universal best diet for type 2 diabetes remission, as we highlighted some of our concerns with this one. There is a theoretical best diet for each individual person. And here's the kicker, beginning with the end in mind. That's whichever one, whatever your fasting schedule looks like, whatever the foods you enjoy to eat that you put in your window that are nutrient dense, that are going to satiate you, it's whichever one they're able to stick to long enough to achieve the significant weight loss required to reverse the underlying mechanism and never be on the path to pre-diabetes, diabetes, or having to get to the point where you need to get your diabetes in remission.
Yeah.
So the sustainable one, the theoretical best plan for each individual person is the plan that you can see yourself sticking to that gets you a result that is motivating enough to want to keep going and not continually being hindered by the decisions and the cravings and the hunger and the insert all of the excuses X, Y, and Z in this long list, right? We want the lifestyle change. We want the habit change. And we found, and that's why we want to direct you to the resource too, the blueprint, that many people can get there through the repetitions and the practice of adapting this fasting lifestyle.
Yeah. You brought me back to a place where one of the decision points was, is the diet working for me right now? Where it was like this constant thing of, okay, is the scale moving? How am I feeling? Is the diet actually working? Is it worth doing? Should I be changing it yet? Should I be making a change to it or throwing the baby out with the bathwater? All those kind of things.
Start again on Monday.
Yeah, they just
next 21-day boot camp.
Oh man.
Next 12-week reset. You want me to keep going?
Decision fatigue. No, I do not. No.
Medical weight loss in a box.
I know.
I'll get back on Weight Watchers. And I'm not doing it to be dismissive, but just highlighting the fact that the pattern is there. I could keep going. I could go back in. And just keep picking line item by line item, the conversations and the actions and the mindset shifts that can be seen. But the empowerment here is that it is doable. And it's just going to take some trial and error and let us help you accelerate that process. So go grab the blueprint to fasting for fat loss. Reach out to us if you got questions. Continue to listen to the podcast. You can also continue the conversation in our Fasting for Life community on Facebook. That link is also in the show notes. If you're ready to level up your monitoring, right, which is one of the categories that matter for sustainability, check out the NutriSense link, get that $30 discount. It's just been an incredible re-eye-opening experience for me, slapping that thing back on and going, there's been some slippage, time to level up. I've ran the marathon, but I didn't get carried to the car. Right. I had to walk to the car. I've ran since.
Still using those feet. Yeah.
By the way, I've never ran a marathon. I've only done them on the Concept 2 rower. So that's not a real true depiction of what's happened. But the marathon of fasting, right? And getting the weight off and maintaining that weight loss. So hopefully that analogy makes sense. But I want to encourage you guys to do something today for it. So grab the blueprint, listen to an episode, set your timer, get back to the basics, but also always begin with the end in mind. So Tommy, fun conversation today. Appreciate the conversation as always, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Bye. So you've heard today's episode and you may be wondering, where do I start? Head on over to thefastingforlife.com and sign up for our newsletter, where you'll receive fasting tips and strategies to maximize results and fit fasting into your day-to-day life.
While you're there, download your free Fast Start guide to get started today. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to leave us a 5-star review, and we'll be back next week with another episode of Fasting for Life.